What's up, you guys? Movie retrospective time. Talking about Tim Burton today.
Yeah.
Mars Attacks.
I kind of
feel like this movie, I don't know, I think it's better, I'm sure it's like a lot better received now than it was at the time. But I still feel like it kind of gets like some mixed reviews. Like a lot of people do think that this was like his last good movie and then the ones after that were just kind of meh. Some people love it, some people hate it. It's really like an interesting film in his canon, I think.
I thought everybody loved it when it came out. My dad loved this movie.
I loved it when I saw it in the theater, actually, when it came out in 1996.
My dad grew up seeing War of the Worlds, you know, just like me, you know, when I was a kid watching it. He watched it when he was a kid, War of the Worlds, and this is like, it's like War of the Worlds, but funny.
Yeah,
but it's good.
I kind of feel like what maybe happened. No, the thing about it was that, I mean, the reviews at the time were mixed. Some people really loved it. Some people really didn't like it. It barely made its money back. So it was considered kind of a failure. Matter of fact, the reason that Tim Burton, you know how Tim Burton was going to go like and do the Batman movie with Nicolas Cage in it?
Yeah.
The reason he didn't get to do that was because Superman. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
The reason he didn't get to do that was because this movie didn't do as well as they anticipated, so they were like punishing him, like the studio was punishing him. Yeah, because this didn't come out the way. I kind of feel like, okay, so this was 1996. This was the same year that Independence Day came out. Now, Independence Day had come out in summer, you know, in July of 1996. And this came out Christmas. So the problem was when they were first working on Mars Attacks, which, like I said, I'll get into the history of it in a little bit because that's actually kind of interesting. I guess the makers of Independence Day found out that they were doing Mars Attacks, which is essentially the same story, although it's wildly different in tone. But they were worried that... you know, Independence Day was worried because they said, well, if Mars Attacks comes out first, we're going to look like we're ripping it off. But then Mars Attacks was like, well, if, you know, Independence Day comes out first, then it's going to look like we're doing a parody of it, even though we've been talking about doing this movie since the 1980s. So as it happened, they kind of like spaced them out. And I feel like a lot of people loved Independence Day, which I'm not a huge fan of. And everybody, well, this movie, Mars Attacks, is a black comedy, and those are always a hard sell. This was parodying a movie like Independence Day. Tim Burton even called this. He said, we didn't actually know that Independence Day was going to come out the same year that they were even working on it. It was just like a coincidence. And he's like, but you could totally see this as like the quote unquote Mad Magazine version of Independence Day, where it was like a parody of it. It's like, we didn't really mean for that to happen. They just happened to come out around the same time. But that's maybe a little bit why it didn't fly so well. I think if it was released now, it would be a lot better received because I think people would get it more. Black comedies still in 1996 were not really, but like I said, they were kind of a hard sell. Like a lot of people weren't really into them.
I don't know if it was released today, it might not even be noticed because they're putting stuff out. Nobody even notices it now.
Well, yeah, that's true.
The special effects sold this movie when it came out. The special effects were real good for the time.
I love the Martians in this.
Yeah, and the tone is really good. It's supposed to be taking place in the 90s, but it's obviously the 50s. The army is the 50s. It's 50. All the equipment is from the 50s. The aliens are from the 50s.
Yeah, everything looks like a 50s sci-fi movie.
Yeah, the tone of the movie is it's War of the Worlds mixed with invaders from Mars and Mars needs women and you know, that's in it too. It's just homaging a lot of classic horror movies about aliens and being attacked by Mars from the 50s. This is the way the 50s were.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like It Conquered the World, and that was kind of like a lower budget one.
And it's filled with a lot of moral lessons in there that people don't. I don't know if they catch it or not. Maybe they probably do. It's just it's basically War of the Worlds. No matter what mankind throws at these aliens, it doesn't work. They throw bureaucrats at the aliens; they don't work. They throw politics at the aliens. It doesn't work. Science and reason doesn't work. Military pacifism doesn't work. Military hyperaggression doesn't work. Nothing works against these damn aliens. So it doesn't even really matter what your mindset is or your political philosophy or anything, the aliens just find a way to just go, eh, you know. Even nuclear weapons don't work, you know.
That's one of my favorite scenes of the movie, actually, yeah. where they do, like, shoot a nuke at the ship, and they just have this little thing that looks like a little Ooga horn with, like, a little red thing, and it just flies out, and it sucks in the thing, and then they suck it in like it's helium.
Yep. Doesn't matter if you're a pretty bimbo, you get killed. Doesn't matter if you're a handsome hero, you get killed. Doesn't matter if you get if you're Michael J. Fox getting cucked out, you get killed. Doesn't matter if you're a fat dude from the trailer park in the army, you get killed. Everybody gets killed. The only thing that can defeat these aliens is a stupid fucking yodeling off a damn record album. Totally random.
Yeah.
So it's basically burning up all the sacred cows of society.
That's exactly
that's what it's doing.
There, I mean, because much like War of the Worlds, it's kind of like you said, they did everything. War of the Worlds almost like subverted the trope a little bit too, where you had like all these heroes and like normally in a 50s sci-fi movie, like you would defeat the aliens at the end. But the only thing that defeated them was essentially like an accident.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that happens in this movie, is that accidentally somebody discovers that that Slim Whitman song makes their heads explode, and that's what ends up defeating them. Nothing prior to that did it.
I think it subverts the original accident, though. In War of the Worlds, it says that microbes kill the aliens.
Yeah.
All right. But then on top of that, it says this happened because of God's wisdom.
Well, so that was God in the movie. That was movie. I guess it was a little bit in the book,
it's
but it was leaned harder,
right.
I guess they went more divine intervention.
Yeah.
Whereas this one was just like a stupid fluke, like the humans only won because of dumb luck.
Not so much divine wisdom. It was because they were layering in that God and nature were the same thing. So kind of like, you know, the natural order, the wisdom of the natural order of the universe, every predator is kept in check by something. That's, I think, what they're talking about. You can call it God if you want, but we know you want you. We know you believe in God, so go ahead and call it God. That was the original concept.
This well, because H.G. Wells was an atheist.
He was an atheist,
you know.
Right. But and then I think War of the Worlds movie probably, I think H.G. Wells would have probably accepted that.
Probably.
Yeah, you know, call it God if you want. Basically. But this one says, no, fuck all that. It's just random shit. It's just country music.
Yeah.
Country music.
Just in particular a Slim Whitman song.
Slim Whitman.
I think it's called Indian Love Call.
Yeah.
Right?
Slim Whitman.
With that
Slim
yodeling.
Whitman destroyed the aliens by with that yodeling.
Yeah. And like I said, it was just dumb luck that got discovered.
So there was no divine wisdom or fucking or anything like
that. That's what I mean about this
just
being like
a
black comedy. And honestly, I was reading, there's a really great article on Collider about why Mars Attacks is good and why people should respect it more. And it's really, really good and it's really well written. And they said the awesome thing about this movie is that it's one of the most mean-spirited big-budget studio films they'd ever seen, in the sense that every single person, they get this huge like ensemble cast of like all these super famous people. Every single one of them is an idiot.
Yep.
And they get killed in like really, really embarrassing ways, like after they've only been in like a scene or two. And it's almost kind of like rubbing it in the audience faces as well, like a little bit.
It's no matter who you're going to project yourself to based on your personal belief systems, no matter who you think you are, who you can identify in this movie, they're going to die.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter. Like, for instance, the president and this fucking local con man is kind of like Tiger King, is both played by the same guy.
By Jack Nicholson. Yeah.
All right. They're drawing parallels between politicians and con men, that they're the same thing. They're just the only difference, really, is the class between them. And they both die trying to ply their trade.
Yeah.
The president is trying to He's trying to be middle of the road and worry about what the people think. He's not trying to start a war, even though a war has already been started on him. That's just ridiculous shit, you know what I mean? He's trying to play politics with a force that is like a force of nature. Politics aren't even in this, even in these aliens' fucking consciousness. It's just destruction, you know? And there's not even any reason or logic to any of it.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, that's another thing that I love about this movie.
You're projecting your reason into these
things. Is that even in the 50s movies, like when aliens attacked, they usually had a reason. Like, we want some resources on your planet, or we eat humans, or whatever. Yeah. In this one, they're just jerks.
Yep. They just think it's hilarious.
They just think it's funny to, like, fuck with us.
Yeah.
And, like, make it, you know, they come here, and then, like, they pretend we come in peace, and then they just start, like, death raying everybody. Yeah.
And it's like, psych.
And then they're like, oh, we're sorry. We didn't mean it. It was a cultural misunderstanding. And then they're like, we did it again.
Yeah.
You dumb fuckers.
Yeah.
They're just, like, fucking with us, which I think is one of the best things. I don't know if there's another movie like that where it shows, like, the aliens come here just to kill us and do fucked up shit to us for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
But that's essentially what they do. That was another thing that Collider article said. They said, this movie is like if you were held captive by aliens that were, or like the dudes from Jackass. That's like basically, basically what they are.
Yep. So the president dies trying to be political, all right, and come to an agreement. And then Jack Nicholson's other character, he's not a con man. He's a
casino owner.
Fucking investor guy. He's kind of like the Tiger King.
He looks like Tiger King.
Cross between Tiger King and Lemmy from Motorhead.
Because he's very sparkly.
Yeah, he's always got a different wig on.
And he's always got a different wig on. And, like,
and he dies at the top of a hotel holding this big investors meeting, and he's trying to get a new casino together. And in the background, the aliens are just fucking blowing the whole world up, and he's just, don't worry about it. Even later on, people are going to want to roll those dice, you know? And you know, it's just kind of funny how he's just showing that these two kind of alpha type dudes of very different, I guess you could say, class levels, I guess, were both totally oblivious to fucking just impending annihilation, as if it would all work out. The president thought it would all work out. We'll come to an agreement. It'll be all right. What are the people going to say? What's he worried about that for?
Yeah.
You've got a couple of days left to fucking repel this alien invasion. What are you worried about the people's opinions on it? You know? We should have a town meeting. You know? That's what his fucking advisors said.
Well, the funny thing is that, like I said, the whole... Because I kind of feel like... I've read a couple of reviews of this movie where I think... Maybe some people misunderstood, like, when the Martians first land, and there's the big thing in Nevada, and all the hippies are there and stuff, and they come out, and they seem like they're friendly, and they have the translator, and they're like, ack, 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 and then they're like, we come in peace, and everybody's like, woo, we come in peace, they come in peace, and then he sets off the dove, and then that seems to, like, set the Martians off, and then they start killing everybody. And it's very funny the way everybody is just kind of like, well, maybe doves mean something different, like, on Mars. And maybe, like, they're willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but...
Then the Martians come out and say, oh, we're sorry, it was a cultural misunderstanding. But people don't seem to... I've seen some reviews that they think the Martians did come in peace at first. They absolutely did not. They just came here to fuck everybody up.
Yeah, and the president had forgiven them from destroying an entire... fucking rock concert full of people out in the desert. It destroyed Congress. Did all kinds of stuff. On multiple events, he'd been wiping out everything. He wiped out France and his friend in France, and he still tried to make peace with him. What are we doing this for? Put her there, pal. And the alien fucking shook his hand, and a fucking robot hand stabbed him in the back, and the fucking flag came out.
And the Martian flag.
And they salute to the dead president and leave. Now there was
the international sign of the donut.
Yeah, international sign of the donut. To him, there was absolutely, absolutely no intention of fucking making peace. That's not what they were here for.
They were essentially just assholes.
Yep.
They were just assholes.
They were trolling.
There was no reason.
Nope.
You know, they came here, like I said, they kidnapped Sarah Jessica Parker and her chihuahua, Poppy, and switched their heads.
For no reason,
just because they think it's funny.
Yep.
They kidnapped Pierce Brosnan, who had just been in, like, the James Bond movie.
And they made him just a head,
and, like, they had all his body parts. Yep. No reason.
No.
They just did that because they could and because they thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, some of my favorite shit is just them in the ship. Yeah. With their little red panties on, like, hanging around in the spaceship in their underwear. And they're just, like, running around with all these, like, people that they've kidnapped that they're just doing these fucked up experiments on. Yeah. And like I said, there's no reason. There's no scientific anything. They're just doing it because they're dicks.
And the internet and the language translator translated what they said, and I think that is what they said. They just said something about half-breeds, and then later on about what was it?
The Dark of the Swain. The Dark of the Swain mowing the down.
Mows like a harvest.
Well, yeah, there you go. Something
that's
like
exactly
that.
What they said. Something about
everybody's this. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, that's exactly what they said, though.
Well, actually, one of my favorite scenes, other than you know, a couple of the one that I just mentioned, was that when they're doing the huge destruction at the end, they actually, just to be funny, they have like little boom boxes that are playing the translator. They're carrying the translator,
yeah.
And it says, "Don't run, we are your friends."
Yeah,
like
that.
I said, they're just just being jerks.
Yeah, don't run. Don't yeah.
While
don't
they're
run,
shooting every, while they're shooting everybody. Yeah. So, like I said, they're essentially just assholes.
Yeah. You had good special effects. The guns shot out damn green lightning bolts that would vaporize you and turn you into a green skeleton
or a red skeleton.
A red skeleton, depending on which kind you hit. Which is there. That's shouting out to fucking War of the Worlds series where they were shooting red stuff and green stuff and people just melting and skeletons and, yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah, so if I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the Mars Attacks, the movie, is actually based on, and this might be the only movie in history that can say this, was actually based on a series of trading cards from Topps. Now, Topps, prior to, like, all through the, you know, early part of the 20th century, they'd done baseball cards. That's kind of what they were known for. But then the early 1960s, they did this... They wanted to do this kind of, like, more horror-themed or, like, subversive set. So they did two of them. They did one called Dinosaurs Attack, and they did one called Mars Attacks. Now, the cards that you could buy, like I said, they're just, like, in the wax pack with the bubblegum and shit like that, had these awesome fucking oil paintings. If you have any of them, I think they're highly, highly collectible these days. But the art on them is really, really cool. That's where the design of the Martians came from. That's not a Tim Burton design. That's essentially what they looked like on the cards. And they wanted to replicate that look as close as possible. The cards were like way darker than the movie ended up being. I mean, some fucked up shit happened on these cards. So predictably back in 1962, like the kids loved them because they're like, all right, it's wiping out the whole fucking, you know, it's wiping out the whole world. And they were really gory and shit. And predictably, like, you know, people, parents and shit like that were like, well, we can't have that. And, like, you know, they kind of had to pull them in the end.
They were for what movie?
It wasn't a movie. It was an original, just series of trading cards.
Okay.
It was like a story,
all right.
But it was all trading cards. There was no movie it was based on. There was no existing IP that it was based on. It was completely original. And like I said, the paintings, if you can see them online, they're really, really cool.
Let me see them. How do I search for it?
Just put Mars Attacks, Topps, Trading Cards, T-O-P-P-S, and you'll be able to see them. Like
it's
I said,
in the 50s.
It's 1962.
62, okay.
So if you still have them, like I said, because I know some people do have them, they're very, very collectible, and I think like you could... It's probably like a couple of grand like to even buy them nowadays. But the art is beautiful, and Tim Burton really liked the look of those cards, so he wanted to replicate the look of that as closely as possible. And actually, if you see some of the cards, he did actually replicate... You know the opening scene with all the cows on fire?
Yeah.
Like, running down? That was one of the cards.
Okay.
And he specifically wanted... And it's funny because he said, we went through so many drafts of the script, and every time we turned in a new draft, the producer said, well, take out the burning cows. We can't have burning cows. And he's like, but we just kept leaving it in there.
Right.
And he's like, and they kept like complaining. And he's like, I did it like 8 times, not Tim Burton, but like the writer. And he's like, I did it like 8 times. And he's like, look, if the cows are still in there next time, you're fired. And he left the cows in there and they fired him. So they, but they still left them in there,
right.
Which I thought was like super funny. Cause Tim Burton was like, well, the reason it's like the whole reason they wanted us to take it out. That was the reason we wanted it in there. It's like, that's fucking awesome. And it was like one of the cards. They wanted to replicate one of the cards with all the burning cows, like, running down the fucking stampede. And so they won that fight just for, like, war of attrition. And they just, like, left it in there. But, yeah, if you see, like, a lot of... Like I said, that's where the design of the Martians came from those cards. They look almost exactly like they look in the movie. Now, originally, Tim Burton, he had done Ed Wood just before this, which probably my favorite film of his, 1994, and he got nominated for Oscars and shit like that. So he thought this would be the good one to do next because it's almost like homaging the Ed Wood style of movies. Now, this movie, too, was actually in... There were ideas for this floating around back in the 80s. You know who was first attached to this project was Alex Cox, who is actually better known for, like, Repo Man, Sid and Nancy. He was the one that came up with the idea, I want to make a movie from the Topps trading cards, the Mars Attacks ones. And he wrote a treatment of it, and it kind of got picked up. I think it was Orion or something like that. And then it just never got made, and it just sort of went into turnaround or development hell or whatever. And then Tim Burton got interested in it later on. But how weird would that have been if, like, Alex Cox would have made this? I can't imagine what that would have been like. But originally, Tim Burton wanted the Martians to be stop motion, obviously, because he had done Nightmare Before Christmas, and he was really into stop motion, and he thought that it would be a good homage to Ray Harryhausen, like, you know, the old B-movies. But the studio were like, that's going to cost too much money. They're trying to keep it under $70 million or $80 million or something like that. They're like, we're not spending any more than that. You're going to have to do CGI. He was like, I don't really want to do CGI. But then they got ILM, Industrial Light and Magic, to do like a test with, and they made like a scene like with the aliens and stuff, and they showed it to Tim Burton, and he was just like, oh my god, that's amazing. Okay, we can do that now, because the aliens in this really do look awesome.
Yeah, they're good.
I mean, they're very clearly CGI, but the whole thing is the movie is supposed to look, he's like, I wanted the effects to look fake or like 50s. You know, he's trying to homage that time period, so they didn't have to look realistic. And I think they did a really good job. I mean, the look of it is iconic.
Yeah.
And we have to talk, too, about the Earth Girl disguise that they do at one point in the movie. That was Lisa Marie, who obviously was Tim Burton's girlfriend at the time. She also played Vampira in Ed Wood.
She was married with Tim at the time.
She might have been. I can't remember. But she was great. She's like only in one scene, but that one where she comes down like as an Earth person, even though she clearly looks completely bizarre. And I love that everybody just acts like it's completely a normal situation, even though she's like, she doesn't talk. She's got this huge like fucking 4 feet of hair, and she walks all like weird and like gliding and stuff.
Yeah,
and everybody's
she's
just
like on a skateboard or something. They're pulling it. And
I
she's
think
just
they
pretending to walk.
It's a they said it was like a moving sidewalk situation is what they had like underneath her.
Okay.
One thing they said too was that they said she was a real trooper because one, they had to sew her into that dress, so she couldn't pee or anything like that, like while they were shooting it. Also, that wig she had to wear was actually two wigs, like, you know, cobbled together. They said it weighed so much that it essentially like put a hole in her head, and she still has a scar like to this day. They said it was really, really heavy. So they said they were having a really hard time like with the moving sidewalk situation and the wig situation because it kept like, you know, and it was kept, they thought they were afraid it was going to like break her neck because it was so heavy, and they were trying to move her around like that. But they said, you know, she said afterward, yeah, it was torture, but it was like, you know, really fun, and she really was glad doing that. And honestly, that is such a great character. We were at a horror convention a few years ago and saw somebody cosplay that, and it looked fantastic. I think it was RuPaul's Drag Race. And I think somebody did that outfit, and it looked, like, amazing. That's, like, so fucking, it's so cool. But, yeah, it's hilarious how many famous people they got in this, man. Like, other than Jack Nicholson, you know, Glenn Close plays the First Lady. Natalie Portman plays their daughter. She's very young. I had forgotten she was in it, too.
Michael J. Fox
is in it. Gets killed. Pretty much everybody gets killed. Jack Black. And this was actually before Jack Black was famous. I think he was... I think he'd done like some theater and some shit like that. Like he was kind of known in some circles, but I think this was like the first big movie that he was in.
He plays the army kid. He wasn't fat yet.
Yeah, it was
a bit chubby, but that wasn't.
It was weird, like seeing him like that.
Yeah.
Pam Grier was in this.
Yeah.
Like Rod Steiger.
Yeah.
Just fucking everybody.
Tom Jones,
and I love that Tom Jones was one of the people that survived the Martian invasion just because he knew how to fly a plane.
Yeah. And all the deer and the eagles.
And they come out of the cave.
And fucking deer.
And he's like doing this and he puts his arm up and a fucking eagle comes and lands on his arm. It's funny because, well, Tom Jones, I don't know if like this is widely known or not, but he's Welsh, and I think he's from, he's not from Cardiff, I don't think, but he's from Swansea. I want to say he's from Swansea. And, but I could be wrong about that. So I went to the town that he was from, and holy shit, do they love Tom Jones in Wales. Which I guess, you know, there's not a huge amount of people that are famous that are from Welsh. Anthony Hopkins, Catherine Zeta-Jones, people like that. Gene Loves Jezebel. But yeah. they're not really that famous. Manic Street Preachers, you know, they're probably more famous. But so I guess, like, when somebody is internationally famous, like Tom Jones, especially somebody that was, like, such a staple of Vegas culture, so, you know, they're super, super proud that he's from there. So I just thought that was super funny. But yeah, so I liked that they had that. I will say that I think maybe, like, this could have been slightly funnier. I will say that. I will say that some of the scenes, I feel like some of the jokes could have been, like, amped up a little bit. But that's pretty minor criticism. You know what I'm saying?
I liked it. I thought
yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
It's classic.
Yeah, and like I said, it seems like it's gotten kind of like, you know, it has a mixed reaction. Like, some people really love it. Some people are like, eh, you know, it's... I was watching Nostalgia Critic did a thing on it, and he thought it was funny, like it had funny bits, but it was like a lot of wasted potential. He's like, you had all these really famous people, and they could have done a lot more with it. But
in the days, they weren't as famous as they are now, though. We took those people for granted back then.
The thing about it, too, is that they had to, I mean, the original version of this script had a lot more characters and had a lot more destruction. But because they only got 70, 80 million,
the budget,
you know what I mean? They're like, well, we had scenes where whole other cities got destroyed, like around the world, and we couldn't really do that. So it's like we had to kind of confine the action to, you know, New York, Vegas, you know, and Washington, D.C. with just like a couple scenes in like Paris. And I think they did that one like where the aliens were in front of the Taj Mahal. Yeah. Like posing, and then like the aliens like blew it up, and they were like, "We blew it up," you know what I mean? So they did that, but originally it was going to have much more of that. But honestly, like I said, this isn't, you know, your traditional Independence Day type alien invasion movie. Independence Day was more of a serious, you know, it took itself seriously. You know, here comes the aliens, yeah. We all got a band together to fight it. This was like making fun of, not specifically that movie, but was making fun of that genre. You know what I mean? So I don't think
in a bad way, though.
Not in a bad way. So yeah, like I said, it's a parody. It's a loving parody of not only like 50s B sci-fi movies and blockbusters in general. It was also kind of parodying like 70s disaster movies, like with the ones with like all-star casts, where, you know, like all these people are like, oh my god, that famous person, and they got killed, you know what I mean? So he was kind of like homaging that a little bit as well. And honestly, it's like the fucking distinctive look of it. It's like I said, I love the Martians. I just I don't know, I just love the look of it.
I wouldn't change anything. I think the movie's a lot of fun. It's got a lot of good characters in it. Fuck that shit happens to all of them, but it's kind of funny. It's got good villains. The Martians, even though they're CG, they look great to me. You know,
I love their eyes, like the way their eyes move.
They're just kind of cartoony and fun. But what's funny is that they are kind of effective villains. You know what I mean? They're not scary per se, but they're just... You look at them and go, yeah, those dudes are assholes. You know what I mean? They work.
Because they don't give a fuck.
They don't give a shit.
They just came to Earth. They just came to Earth to fuck shit up. They don't want anything from us.
They're laughing. They do stuff. They start laughing.
Yeah, they're like high-fiving each other. Yeah. Shit like, hey, good one. You know what I mean? Yep. So, like I said, that's kind of what I think is the best aspect of the movie, is that there is absolutely no reason behind these aliens coming here. They're just assholes.
Yeah.
And I just love that.
Yeah, and they subvert that whole thing. You know, I mean, they're scientists, you know, played by the dude who was fucking...
Pierce Brosnan,
yeah. He's like, well, it's obvious that they've come here. Look at the size of this. Because they've come here across the gulfs of space. They're a superior culture, so they're and with real high intelligence. So therefore, they should be peaceful. And we should have no problem with it. No, it's not what happened. Projecting your value system on these things. You haven't even met these things yet. They show up, they fucking zap the fucking dove, they open fire on the crowd, they just fucking burn it, and then they go, oh yeah, and then they pretend that it was just a misunderstanding, and then they do it again, and like, they laugh at it. They laugh
at it. Because you dumbasses fell for it.
No, yeah. So, Some people are like, oh, well, you know, but it's true, though. If they can get here, then they'd be peaceful. No, no.
Yeah, not necessarily. No, you don't really know what their culture is. Like I said, they could be just a bunch of, like, guys from Jackass.
Yeah, or, you know, because...
Just because you're smart doesn't mean you're a nice person.
See something from Predator. Predator 1, that might be a reality, that these things fucking can come here and hunt you. And they go, well, they would be advanced, though. Look. They don't have to build those ships. They might be able to buy those. Rednecks go out and kill shit. They don't make trucks or four-wheelers or anything. They just buy them. Well, they might be part of some kind of, you know, galactic civilization of planets that trade with each other, and they just might be basically dicks that can get their hands on that kind of technology and travel around and fuck shit up.
Yeah, which, like I said, as far as I know, I don't really know if there's been another sci-fi movie with that premise.
Star Wars.
Specifically the aliens were
attacking Earth.
Were just jerks, and, like, they didn't have any reason. And like I said, you could even say, like, you know, building on what you just said, was that these Martians might just be... Like, they might not... There might be, like, actually nice, intelligent Martians back on Mars. These are just assholes that decided to go, like, cruising, and it's like, hey, let's go in here. It's like, you know, it's like rednecks going to tip cows or something like that.
There was a whole armada of them. So
that's true.
I would think it was... They were taking them.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, in theory...
You just don't know.
Right. It could be like that. That could just be... These might not even be, like, the best examples of the civilization.
Right.
These might just be, like, a faction of douchebags. Yeah.
And in a situation like it's a Star Wars type galaxy, there's nothing. You look at the Sand People. The Sand People were just lived out in the desert, but they had weapons and fucking plasma fucking looking weapons and that they didn't make. They must have bought those. Well, they could probably get a spaceship too and leave. You know?
Yeah.
And then you got fucking Sand People coming to your house. From another planet, you know? What the fuck is this? You know? So don't. We don't know what the situation is with out in space.
Yeah, it's always pretty better to proceed with caution.
Caution, right.
Although, like I said, in the situation that you see in Mars Attacks, I'm not really sure that there's much that we could have done.
No.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's like the people, like everybody that's in it are idiots, that's true. But being not an idiot, that didn't really seem to help either. Because, like I said, the aliens weren't here for any other purpose other than to just, like, to kill everybody.
Yeah, well, they went ahead and...
And they had superior technology.
They went ahead and fucking showed you. Smart, dumb, ugly, good looking. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what you believe. They killed everybody.
Yeah, and like I said, the only people that survived... was just kind of through a fluke or, like, dumb luck.
Yeah.
Like, the only reason they survived was because they figured out the song or because they didn't really... Like, you know, the one guy that, you know, that left the casino, you know, he lived because he's like, fuck this casino, I'm leaving to, like, you know, find my family. So people were kind of doing more personal shit. Or, like, you know, Lucas Haas's character who said, you know, fuck my parents. Jodan Baker was the dad, by the way. Yeah. And he's just kind of like, you know, fuck you guys in the trailer park, I'm gonna go get grandma. And him and grandma ended up kind of like killing everybody. But like I said, it was just sort of like an accident.
Yeah.
But everybody that was like in authority or thought that they knew what was going on or thought they knew the solution to the problem.
Yeah, didn't make a difference.
All got killed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whether they were smart or stupid or whatever, they just all got killed.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think that's what people mean saying this is like a really mean-spirited movie, but it's mean-spirited for a purpose. It's supposed to be a black comedy. It's it's a parody.
In the face of some shit like that, your value systems don't mean shit.
Yeah. And like I said, especially for a race like this, which doesn't give a shit about you.
Nope.
They just have a good time. They're gleefully like just destroying the planet because they want to.
You can't negotiate with a crowd of people that have already decided to kill you.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, you can't negotiate.
Yeah. There was, like I said, they were just like making a joke about it.
Yeah.
Going around and like fucking, you know, don't run. We are your friends.
so it would show kind of like the warmongering trailer park dude in the army. And then the fucking new agey fucking airy fairy chick, they both died.
No, she lived.
Oh, she lived.
Yeah, she
lived. But
she
her lived. Friends got zapped, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they were both wrong because she thought they were here to save us.
Although, I will say that she actually twigged on pretty quick. Like, as soon as, like, she was just kind
of
like...
She killed one of them.
Yeah, she did kill one of them.
She turned over a new leaf.
As soon as she saw... Well, and I think something that they didn't really go into a lot, because, like I said, this is a huge cast, and they don't really go a lot into, like, character building or anything like that. Yeah. Everyone's just very hastily drawn, and then it kind of goes back and forth, like, to all these different characters. They didn't really hit on this too much, but she was... maybe the reason she was so new agey, airy fairy was she was a recovering alcoholic.
Okay.
I mean, they showed her in the AA meeting. Yeah. And so I'm guessing that that's why she took on all these kind of new agey beliefs, because it was helping her. But then once she realized that the Martians were just there to kill everybody, she started drinking again.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? And then she's like, fuck it. And then she started killing him. Dan so DeVito, she actually did end up living too.
Danny DeVito tried to barter his way out of it using his watch because he was a lawyer and shit.
You guys are going to need lawyers who are going to take over the world.
An alien zapped him, and then he's like, zapped the alien. She says it was too late.
Yeah. So, so I think the only person that ended up living were the guy from the casino, Pam Grier, and their two kids. They lived. The new agey girl, Annette Bening.
The Xboxer.
The Xboxer guy. That's who I meant. And Tom Jones.
And the girl with the amazing boobs.
Oh, yeah, Cindy, her name was.
Cindy.
And the kid from the donut shop, the brother of Jack Black, the army guy, and Taffy, the daughter of the president and first lady.
The Cindy character is from the casino, and they got her dressed up.
And grandma lived.
Cindy's from the casino, and she's dressed up as Cleopatra. She runs around through half the movie, that Cleopatra hat. Outfit fucking as eye candy. She just
She doesn't hardly get any lines, but it's like I guess she's just there for.
Yeah, she is an actress though. She did a bunch of other movies.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying she doesn't. Well, she does get some lines toward the end when they like when they get the plane.
She wasn't
well
known back then, I don't think.
Yeah. But, and yeah, grandma lives. I like at the end, like, when her and her grandson are giving their speeches because they're getting the Congressional Medal of Honor from Natalie Portman. Because she's the, you know, Natalie Portman's the only member of the government that survived. And she's just, and she just, like, kind of pokes Natalie Portman in the chest and says, don't let that happen again. I thought that was, like, so funny. That was, like, the same woman that was in Beetlejuice that was their caseworker.
Yeah.
I think this was her last movie, actually. Mm. Sylvia Sidney, her name is. Okay. And I was, like, reading an article about, like, some behind-the-scenes stuff. And, like, the woman, or the person that did the makeup, I think, they said that she was a real character. They said she was, like, super old, and she was, like, a chain smoker.
Yeah.
And it's, like, she always yelled at everybody. And she's, like, if you said something she didn't like, she'd always say, what are you, an idiot? And I was, like, she sounds kind of awesome.
No, I probably can't.
But yeah, I think this was her last movie. But yeah, she was actually pretty funny in this. Like, she's the one with that listens to the Slim Whitman. And she also has dementia.
Yeah.
But yeah, but they were the only ones that ended up living, really, like, out of everybody. But yeah, so Mars Attacks, you can rent it on YouTube, you can rent it on Amazon Prime, but at least as of this recording, it is free on Tubi. I don't know how long that's going to be on there. Beetlejuice is on there for free, too, if you want to do, like, a Tim Burton double feature for whatever reason. So, yeah, you can watch it for free at the moment, but you can stream it elsewhere. So what do you guys think about Mars Attacks? Like I said, I know it's a little bit of a divisive film in his catalog, and I'm curious as to what the opinion of our listeners is about it. I always really, really, really liked this movie. It's not my favorite of his, but it's definitely in the top three or four, I would say. Like I said, Ed Wood, Beetlejuice. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it's top five. Edward Scissorhands. You know. He made a lot of good ones, that's what I'm saying. But I always, like, really enjoy this one, and it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, let us know what you think about it in the comments. And that'll do it for this movie retrospective. We will see you guys on the next one. Bye.